Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies. I've got another episode of The Health Fix for you. And today I've got Jay Kim on the show. This guy's awesome. You guys better stay tuned to this because he is talking all about how to hack your fitness. He's got a book that details it all, and he is a desk jockey. So he is not one of those CrossFit guys that spends all day in the gym. In fact, he's talking about 3 hours a week. And so, hey, Jay, say hello for everyone.
Hi, Janine. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's my pleasure to be here.
Alrighty. So let's jump in, because one of the big things about my podcast, Jay, is that I am always trying to share with everybody what's out there and what kind of options are out there for them, for their fitness, and what they can do to keep, basically, like you're saying, hacking their fitness. And So your book, of course, is in alignment with pretty much everything I say. And so I want everyone to kind of hear somebody else say the same things that I say, and basically proof, because in my practice, I'm always getting my patients saying, well, yeah, you're fit, you're a doctor, you know what to do. Well, yeah, but it's always nice to, you know, I'm kind of like mom to my patients. And so it's like, you never want to 100% listen to mom. You want to hear, you know, other proof and multiple folks saying, Right. Yeah, this is the right thing. So tell my audience a little bit about how you got started here.
Totally. Thank you again for having me on the show. And I appreciate your background and where you're coming from with all that, because I always tell people that I am definitely not like a fitness guy. You know, after I wrote the book, and you know, I've always sort of been interested in fitness, but it was really just from my personal vanity, really. And just because I wanted to look good, and I was tired of spinning my wheels on this sort of fitness rat race, if you will. So yeah, my journey is very much like probably many of your listeners. You know, I'm not a fitness guy. You know, I have no sort of degrees or certifications. You're far more qualified. You're a doctor. You know, I am just a, you know, I'm a desk jockey. You know, I work in finance. I work at a fund. I'm an asset manager. And I started my career off on Wall Street. And at the time, you know, I was living in New York. I was young. I was in my 20s. I had a fast metabolism. And so I was really just partying a lot, going out, enjoying life. And fitness was always just sort of a career accessory for me. And what I mean by that is it was just something that I did because whether it was peer pressure, like I would go to work and I would see my colleagues that have their gym bag next to their desk. And so it was kind of one of these things where I was like, oh, well, I guess I should go to the gym as well, because that's sort of what everyone's doing. And then we'll all meet up for happy hour afterwards. So it was literally just something to do, you know, almost expected, like a thing to check off the list, the minimum that we had to do, and then let's go on with our lives. So that was all fine and dandy until I started looking at my physique, and it started changing because I was not taking care of my body at all. So I spent about 5 years of my early career sort of in this wheel spinning mode where I was, you know, reading men's health magazines and muscle and fitness and cherry picking workouts and this sort of thing, but never really making any progress. In fact, I was moving backwards because I didn't know anything about nutrition. I didn't know anything about diet. And I thought that I could merely just go to the gym, workout, and one day I'll magically look like that cover model. So, and if I just did some of the workout splits that were in the magazine. So for me, it was frustrating, but it wasn't a priority. So in my mind, I was kind of like, well, you know, one day I'll get there, but you know, let me focus on my career for now. That was my number one priority. So it wasn't until about, you know, several years later, and I, at this point, I had already moved over to Asia. I'm based in Hong Kong now. And it was during the financial crisis where I actually lost my job. And at that point, I was sort of all-time heaviest and really, really unhealthy. I was living a very unhealthy lifestyle, doing a lot of entertaining with clients, you know, going out way too much, not sleeping. Again, knew zero about diet and nutrition. And finally, when I lost my job during the financial crisis, it was sort of a wake-up call for me because I didn't have any more excuses. I literally was out of work for maybe 6 months. And I was looking at myself and I said, I'd always blamed my job and my career for I don't have time or it's not a priority for me. And finally, I didn't have that excuse anymore. And so I really started researching fitness more on the nutrition side. And, you know, my understanding was very rudimentary. I thought, oh, a salad is good. You know, anything right. carbs is bad. You know, that all the stuff that's proliferated these days in the mainstream media. And it's getting better now because of the internet and this sort of thing. But back then, especially, it's basically anything you read in a fitness magazine must be the truth, right?
Yeah.
So that was where I first started my journey, my official fitness journey. And I was reading a lot of sort of books on nutrition. And so I really started to understand more on the diet side and what good foods are and what bad foods are. However, this led me into a sort of 2.0 of the wheel spinning in my fitness journey. And what I mean when I say that is I was doing excessive amounts of cardio and I was lifting. And so I was literally working out around 6 days a week. I was doing the whole small meals a day. And in my mind, I had sort of the food chart, which was clean foods and then not clean foods. And I thought in my mind, I could eat as much clean foods as possible as I wanted to, and it'd be fine. And I just have to avoid the bad foods. And at some point, everything will get, you know, will circle up and I'll look like the cover model at some point.
Right.
Now, this didn't really happen, you know, and I continued doing this for another 5 to 6 years. And, you know, I was spending so much energy on my diet, and it wasn't until it was actually my wife who was my girlfriend at the time. She was helping me with my meal prep, and she was getting increasingly annoyed at my dietary restrictions and packing Tupperware to work and, you know, going out on date night, but then ordering a salad with dressing on the side and just being really annoying, right? And she actually was the one that called me out. And she said, you know, for someone that spends the amount of time that you do on fitness, you claim you're not a fitness guy, but you're obsessed over it. You don't actually look that fit. And right. She called me out straight up one day. And it was only then where I actually, it hurt. Obviously, because it was the truth. And it was only then that I took a step back and I realized, you know what? She's absolutely right. I've spent over a decade trying to figure this fitness thing out. I quote unquote, you know, knew more about fitness and, you know, I was the guy in my social circle that people would come to and ask me, but, you know, I was embarrassed to take my shirt off at the beach or at the pool, you know, because for someone that literally was working out 5-6 days a week, eating clean, watching, you know, doing everything, ticking all the boxes, I didn't have that body. So yes. I thought it was impossible. I thought I had a slow metabolism. I just used all the excuses in the book.
Yep.
And it wasn't until then that I finally took a step back and I really drilled into the research and the science behind sort of body composition and recomposition. And it was then that I sort of did a lot of research, and the problem with the internet again is that for the amount of free information that's out there, most of it's garbage. I would say it's getting a little bit better now, but a lot of it still is garbage. So
huge garbage. So, and that's, folks, that's why I wanted Jay on this, because his stuff is legit. That's I weed through people.
Thank you. So yeah, and so that basically brought me to figuring out the sort of the real science. I mean, it's really simple. It's simple science behind nutrition and fitness. And you know, when I say hack your fitness, it's not a biohack. You know, biohacking is all the rave again these days, and that's not something that I do or really advocate. You know, mine is basically science based, and it all starts with really, you know, sort of energy balance and calories in, calories out. And it's only when people get down to that level where they're willing to crunch the numbers, and it's actually not that bad once you get to it, you know. It's only that when you get down to that level and you make that commitment, that you'll start to see results. And I was always the guy that was like, oh, I don't want to get too manic and obsessive about my diet and nutrition. Meanwhile, I was getting manic and obsessive about my workouts. But little did I know that 85% of it, I think, is nutrition, and only 15% of it is actually the tactics and mechanics of working out in the gym.
Oh, yeah. No, I can absolutely say that. I've been saying this for years to a lot of my patients, but, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those things where what I tell everybody, what's not tracked can't be managed. And I am a data person and do take down my data. Yes, people at my CrossFit gym, I do take down what I'm lifting, because I never do it at the gym, but I do it at home. It's only because their stupid like little planner thing sucks. And so I'm admitting it. Sorry, I just can't do it at the gym, but I do it at home. I use the old school notebook, like just the old school, like way to go. But the thing is what you talk about with the tracking, because I don't know how many people come into my office and they're the same, they're doing the same thing. Then, you know, they've went through CrossFit, they've done the P90X, like you mentioned, the Insanity, the blah, 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 you know, you name it, they've done it, and the diets, they're gluten-free, they're dairy-free, they're soy-free, you know, all of that stuff. And they're like, yeah, I'm not losing weight, I'm not going anywhere. And it really, and then I go, well, have you ever tracked your calories? And they're like, yeah, I did Fitness Pal like when I was on a diet for a week. It's like, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And I love that you say that.
Absolutely. 100%. And so, yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I, you know, my system is actually very simple, and it was something that I designed for myself and put together because it was literally meant for myself. What's the minimum amount of time that I need to spend on my fitness per week? Because again, like I said, I'm not quote unquote a fitness guy. If you go on my Instagram, you don't see any pictures of me flexing in the gym, because I'm just not that guy. And to be honest, I can't compete. Like I don't play in that arena, and that's not the purpose of why I wrote the book. So the purpose was to basically solve people's pain points that were the exact same as mine. Just regular guys that have, you know, want to look good and be fit, but, you know, their whole life isn't fitness. You know, we have, there's more to life than fitness, and there's more to life. I mean, you know, I have family, I have kids, and I have a full-time job, and, you know, I just don't want to be spending and obsessing over fitness. And so after, you know, I developed the program and wrote the book, now, you know, I find such freedom now in my fitness, where before I was shackled and I felt trapped by everything, and I would spend hours on, you know, reading articles online, and just it would consume me, because it was like this holy grail, you know, the mythical six pack that could never be attained, you know. And now that it I've sort of figured it out, it's actually not that difficult. It's quite simple, and it's just the simple science. So once you learn that, it's very easy.
And that's the beauty of it. So folks, Jay has a downloadable 17-page kind of snippet into his book in terms of what the basics are, what the plan is. And what he's got is some math. And it's usually most every single patient that I see rolls their eyes at me when I'm like, okay, we're going to calculate your basal metabolic rate, and we're going to calculate how many calories you burn just sitting around doing nothing. And it's important though, because I don't think people realize really what is happening in terms of what goes in their mouth. Cause I know you note that Jay is funny, you guys, by the way, he's absolutely hilarious. I love reading his stuff. And so his book is going to be like a quick breeze. But the best part is looking through like, okay, this is not a diet. It is a concept of calories in, calories out. Even though, yes, you've read in what, however many magazines, that, oh, it doesn't matter what you eat. As long as you eat clean, you'll lose weight. Well, right. I can tell you that myself. Bullshit. It's not, because it's not that way. So yeah. Jay, tell us a little bit about the basal metabolic rate, and then how you came to your different multipliers. Because I saw in your blog that if you're really wanting to cut weight for the summer, you want to go to this 1.15 multiplier for things. So tell folks what that all means.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So that's a good question. So basically here's how it works. There's two sort of truths about calories that people don't know, or maybe aren't aware of, or maybe they've heard of, but they just aren't cognizant of it. So the first truth is that people don't actually need as much food as they think they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you actually crunch the numbers, you're going to realize that, whoa, that's all that's, wait, are you sure that calculation is right? I only need 2000 calories or whatever. And so that's the first usually aha moment. You know, people are like, wait, that's it? That's all that I actually need? And yeah, that's
people
true.
People get so, mad.
Yeah, that's right. They're mad. Downright mad. And they're like, there's no way. And so the funny thing is that we live in a society, and there's a lot of research that backs this and articles and this sort of thing. But, you know, the consumer, there's something called what I like to call like a marketing monster behind everything that is behind capitalism in the U.S. And, you know, the consumer brands, the large corporations, they've basically fooled us into thinking things like, but you need, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and you need 3 square meals a day, and this sort of thing. And it's basically all driven by corporate bottom lines. They want to sell more of their product, whether it's Kellogg's or Snickers bars, and they'll do anything to tell to the public to tell them that they need that product. They need to eat that or buy that, consume that product. So human beings actually don't need as much food as we think we do, okay? So that's the sort of first truth. Now, the second truth when it comes to counting calories is that human beings also almost always grossly underestimate the amount that they're actually eating. So when you eyeball a plate of food, you're most likely going to be way off on your calculation, on your eyeball. So when you look at a salad or something, you're going to think, oh, that's, I don't know, a couple hundred calories, and if it's covered, drenched in ranch dressing, then you're going to be like 1,000 calories off. So people usually, this is the two big truths that, so I like to basically teach them the real truth behind how to count calories. And so the first thing that you have to do, of course, and you just talked about it, is the BMR, the basal metabolic rate. So you have to calculate your basal metabolic rate, which is basically the amount of energy that you need if you're just going to sit there and survive as a human being, right? Mm-hmm. And there's many calculators online. You could just Google it. You know, I don't want to run through the math. But essentially what that is that's going to be your baseline. And that's the first shocker, because people are like, wait, so it's based on your body weight and your age and this sort of thing. And people are like, and I tell them, if you want to just maintain, you don't want to lose or you don't want to gain, just to maintain your current weight, you need to eat X amount. And usually that amounts to about like a large lunch for most people or something like that. It's for females, it's usually around 1500 calories a day. For guys, it's like around 2000 a day, depending on what you weigh. And so that's number one eye opener for most people. And then the activity factor that you mentioned is essentially based on how active you are. If you are a decathlete or a professional athlete, then you're going to be expending a lot more energy than a desk jockey like myself. Or if you work on your feet, if you're a delivery man or something like that, or a mover, you're going to be expending a lot more calories on a daily basis based on your occupation than someone like me, again, a desk jockey. So you basically have to adjust your energy needs for your activity. And so when we throw in that activity level, what you're basically doing is you're accounting for that. And so I use a very aggressive activity factor of around 1.2, sometimes a little bit more aggressive depending on the person and what they can manage. But essentially what it comes down to is, after you calculate the amount of calories that you need, and you throw in the activity factor, from there you deduct a certain amount of calories on a weekly basis to ensure that you're in a caloric deficit. And just a very ballpark figure that we use is around 3,500 calories, because that is estimated to be 1 pound of fat. So essentially what you're saying is, at the end of every week, if you take a weekly number of the total amount of calories that you eat, you want to be at a caloric deficit of around 3,500 calories on a weekly basis. And so that's the way you start, okay? And that's like the baseline. And the good thing is that the law of energy balance, which is calories in, calories out, is the most important law and the highest overarching law and principle of nutrition, period. And so if you can simply abide by that, you can still be successful. And that's why you see these ridiculous diets that are like, oh, you can eat McDonald's for an entire month and I still lost weight, you know? Right. Or that's the same reason why you could eat Caesar salads every day and still gain weight, because calorically, Caesar salad probably has more than the McDonald's.
Yep.
So that's good news and bad news, but mostly good news, because once you understand and fully understand that law of energy balance, then you basically have your budget. You have a guideline. And you know, as long as I don't go over that and I stay under, then I'm going to be making forward progress. And once you understand that law, that's basically most of the nutrition side.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I think that's huge, because I have a lot of people who are like, well, I'm eating clean. Why am I not losing weight? And really, you know, cashew butter has a lot more calories than, you know, your apple pie at McDonald's. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there, but just basically when you have like eight tablespoons of cashew butter in a day and you have one apple pie at McDonald's, I mean, a little bit heavier on that cashew butter. And so unfortunately that's the kicker here. And that's what I really was excited to have you come on about, because I want people to hear this, that, you know, unfortunately all the BS that's out there, it really is, you gotta track what's going on. You gotta have that what's going in your mouth, because yeah, you will grossly underestimate what's happening.
Right. So here's where it gets a little bit more interesting, is that, okay, if you want to just slowly lose weight over time, then you can do that by, you know, being in a caloric deficit. And that's fine. So then, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, that's fine. You know, I'm okay just having, you know, one McDonald's meal every day. You know, is that cool? And what I tell them is, that's cool if for maybe about a week. But then when you start exercising, you're going to quickly realize that you're going to want to gravitate, being in a caloric deficit, you're going to want to gravitate anyway towards natural foods. Okay. So it's just a matter of satiety, like how full you feel. And when you're working out, your body needs a certain amount of fuel. And the amount of calories that's in one slice of pizza is probably the equivalent of, you know, a couple of chicken breasts and a plate of broccoli. And you'll see, you know, once you start working out, and my on the lifting side, on the training side, I do a very sort of conventional compound lifts, very traditional compound lifts, but they're quite intense. And again, my whole thing is hacking your fitness. So I want to get you lean in the shortest amount of time possible. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be the quickest way that you get lean. And so in order to do that, you have to lift pretty heavily. Okay. And so in order to fuel your body for that, you're going to need more than just a slice of pizza a day. You know, you're going to need a lot of food. You want to feel full to recover. And, you know, nutritionally speaking, it's going to be better for you anyway. So there's a happy medium between those two extremes. You know, I've been on the dried chicken breast and broccoli six times a day before, which is awful. Yeah. And I've also thought I could trick the system and gone, you know, with just eating candy bars and junk food and seeing if I can make gains in the gym. It doesn't work. But I'm happy to say that there is a happy medium, and you can find ways that you can lie somewhere in between. But I think in general, most people will shift towards the natural food side just because they're just hungry. You're in a caloric deficit, you're hungry and you want to be full, and full will always trump, oh, I want that taste of pizza or whatever, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I absolutely agree. I think I'm just laughing here because I think I'm somewhat the female version of you, because I've definitely been through all those different things. Like, I'm going gluten-free. Nope, next week it's dairy-free. Now that didn't work. I'm going, Snickers every day. So tell us a little bit about the weightlifting, because when Jay explained the weightlifting, the compounding lifts, you know, I was looking at some of his background here, and he was talking about starting strength. And I know some folks that listen to this podcast know a little bit about starting strength. And I also noticed a little bit of the push-pull that you were talking about. And that sounds a lot like Poliquin types of programs. And so I want to hear more about your lifting plan and kind of what that entails.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did base it very heavily off of Rippetoe's starting strength. And you're a CrossFit person, so I'm sure you're fully aware of his work. And, you know, CrossFit for me, I've done CrossFit in the past, and it's a little bit too intensive for me. Again, I'm not a fitness guy. But here's the thing. So when people... I loathe cardio, and I that's a personal thing. And look, there's a lot of benefits for cardio, and I'm not saying that I think cardio does have a place in everyone's fitness routine. I think it's great for your body. And there's a lot of health benefits to cardio, but for the purposes of getting lean, it is not a very effective and efficient way to do so. And anyone that's sort of done these compound lifts, and when I say that, I mean like squatting, deadlifting, bench press, overhead press, this sort of thing, doing chin-ups and dips. It's funny. So another one of these myths that the fitness marketing monster has proliferated over the years is that in order to burn fat, you have to get a good sweat in and you have to do cardio. And so this whole thing of, okay, you have to do cardio to burn fat came up. You're going to burn X amount of calories doing cardio. And then to add another layer of complexity to that, there was this thing, they added this thing called the afterburn effect, which is EPOC, excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the afterburn effect. So basically when they came up with these things like HIIT and, you know, these plyometric workouts and this sort of thing, a way that they marketed it was by talking about this afterburn effect. And they would say, okay, the afterburn effect of doing this intense, high intensity interval training session is two or three times, two times the amount that you're going to do from running on a treadmill for an hour or doing a bike ride for an hour. So when you look at the numbers, yes, that's absolutely true. If you do high intensity interval training, then you are going to be burning more calories than a slow, steady state bike ride or elliptical, right?
Right.
Now, what they left off the scale of this EPOC scale of the afterburn scale is heavy compound lifts. So when you do a heavy compound lift, like a squat, it takes your body up to say 48 hours to recover from that lift. And during that recovery time is when literally your body is going to be burning a lot of that body fat to get its energy. And so the EPOC or afterburn effect of doing compound lifts far, far exceeds that of even the most intensive high intensity interval training. So from an efficiency standpoint, if you look at how much time I'm going to spend in the gym, whatever exercise I do versus the output, how much can I burn? How much fat can I burn? You're much better off doing a compound lift. If you're going to spend 45 minutes in the gym doing steady state cardio, high intensity interval training, or compound lift is the winner every single time. And again, this is not to say that cardio isn't good for you. I don't do much cardio, but I still try to incorporate, you know, one or two sessions a week, and I'll get outside for a walk, a brisk walk or a run, something like that with my dog or something like that. But, you know, from a pure efficiency standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me. And I would rather go in and juice that 45 minutes and get the maximum amount of progress than that I can, right? I mean, we're all short of time. So why are we wasting our time doing cardio? So for my sort of 12-week-ish program where I basically buckle people down to commit to this sort of thing, I tell them, look, ditch the cardio, focus on your lifts. And they're all scratching their heads. You know, what do you mean? No cardio? How can you burn fat? You're not doing any cardio. You're not sweating anything out. And I tell them, look, when you do compound lifts, like at max effort, and I mean really going in there, pushing yourself to failure each time, you know, safety, of course, is very important. But, you know, I teach sort of how to do the lifts and stuff like that. You're gonna be much more effective in burning fat. And the results will be astonishing if you're doing it for the first time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that's huge to note. Like the cardio, man, I am a recovering marathon addict. Basically, I don't run unless someone's chasing, someone's after me at this point now, or unless at CrossFit they make us run. But for all intents and purposes, like I cannot stress enough to my patients that, I keep getting these weird looks. Like they're like, no, I need to do 2-a-days. I'm like, no, let's lifting, let's work on this. So tell us in terms of your book, do you have directions in terms of like laid out plans of what folks should be doing, in this 12-week program that you have? Like what?
Yep.
Aha. Okay.
Yep, absolutely. So actually, even in the free guide that you can download from the website, I detail, it's essentially the skeleton outline of what I go into in the book. The book goes into the full detail of, a lot of the science, and I put a lot of references in there, and I go through the lifts and this sort of thing. But yeah, it's very simple. I work out 3 times a week. And it's 1 day each for the large movements. So squat day is obviously the most important. I think it's the best exercise. I think it's the hardest. It's the most daunting to me, and it's still my sort of weakest lift on a relative basis. But it's squatting and then deadlift. So we kind of have a back day where you do pull exercises, and then you have a push day, which is like overhead press and bench press and this sort of thing. So it's very simple, and literally, if you're efficient and you go into the gym and you're pushing yourself at max failure, you're going to be working. You're working in the heavy weight, and depending on the exercise, you're going to be either doing 4 to 6 reps or 6 to 8 reps, and you're only doing 2 sets of each of the exercises. And so you're going to be in the gym for about 45 minutes if you're focused, and you're taking, I advocate for longer rests in between sets so you can literally push yourself. And you're in there, you're focused, you're not checking your Facebook, you're not chit-chatting around the water cooler, you're not checking out dudes on the treadmill, you're literally in there focusing. And yeah, I mean, it's efficient. It's in and out. And you'd be surprised at the results that you get. So again, I'm same thing. You have to track your lifts. I'm a big data guy, as and you are as well. So find a way to track your lifts so you can ensure that you're making forward progress each week.
And I like your tracker. I was checking it out in your download. Everybody, you guys need to check this out because his tracker is great because it's old school. And all
That's
of
right.
you, the fitness things like Zen Planner and whatnot, like we have for our gym. I'm old school. So, but being able to look at it all out in front of you, maybe do it on an Excel spreadsheet if you're that kind of techie person, but being able to look at it and compare is huge. And I'll admit, I've fallen victim to all of the different things Jay's talking about. Like I did P90X for a while. I did Insanity. I ran marathons. I was the fattest. I'm just flat out gonna say I was the fattest I ever was running marathons. And it's those kind of things looking at it. And it's going back into like you gotta track your data and you've gotta really look at what's going in your mouth. And Jay's just got this great plan in terms of bringing it all together, all the legit stuff, because I can say I've made all the mistakes too. And you've got it dialed in. And I just absolutely love how you've got it all packaged. I think it's great. So Jay, wrapping up here, let's tell my audience a little bit about where they can find you online, how they can get the free download, and how they can grab your book and any other
Sure.
details in terms of your blog. Because this blog, by the way, folks, is hilarious. I love the comment about bro splits. That makes me laugh. All of you out there in the gym who are like Monday's arms day and chest day. Oh, yeah, been there. So, yes, tell everybody all your details. I want
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for this. So it's hackyour.fitness. It's a dot fitness ending. And if you go to hackyour.fitness, it's my blog. I write every week there. And yeah, if you read it's funny because some of my readers are, well, a lot of my readers are like us, very knowledgeable. I've done fitness for a long time, but they're not hardcore extreme. That's pretty much my audience. But every once in a while, I will get some filtered through that are hardcore extreme guys. And you know, there's a lot of banter. I like to call it banter, back and forth. And guys that are way more into it and technical than me. But yeah, I try to keep it light. You know, I try to keep my readers engaged. And a lot of readers are first timers too, you know, and that's why I try to keep it simple. And yeah, there's a couple places on the website where you can download my free guide. And that's essentially everything that I talk about in the book, but it's condensed. So I'm giving everything away for free. The book is like $2.99 on Kindle right now. If you want to download it on Amazon, it's on Amazon. If you just search for Hack Your Fitness. Yeah, it's very, again, it's geared towards people that are fitness guys, but they are fitness gals but they're not, you know, they want to look good, and they have a life that they care about. They're not meatheads, you know, working professionals and busy entrepreneurs. And this sort of type of people are the people that read my book. So, yeah, so that's where you can find me, and you can reach out to me there as well. You know, I'm on Twitter, Jay Kimmer, JayKimmer. The other social media handles, you can search for me at Jay Kimmer as well. But yeah, if you have any questions, just email me, you know, jay@hackyour.fitness. I answer everyone's email, and I always have time, and I appreciate my readers. So.
Oh, Jay, that is wonderful. Because I know that there's going to be some folks that are going to have some questions. Because, of course, in my world, I see, of course, the folks who do get to the plateaus and the folks that are getting to these points where they're like, what the hell do I do now? Mm-hmm. What am I missing? And I love it that there's folks out here that are not intimidating, because the desk jockey and the regular kind of guy thing is so much more approachable than, you know, some beefcake kind of guy.
Yeah.
At his blog, you know, it's going, oh, well, you know, how are you ever, you know, you never had a problem. You came out of mom jacked, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
So yeah, totally. I like it that it's relatable, and I think my audience will enjoy it too. I'm also going to put on my website, links to your website, links to how they can find you, catch your blog as well. You guys really sign up for his blog. It's awesome. I enjoyed it. I was going through all of his posts, and he's just funny. I just kept reading because I was laughing about, yep, did that. Yep, did that. I think the one that I was cracking up the most about is that you spent 2 weeks looking for your gym bag, like the ultimate gym bag.
Yeah.
That would be me, the ultimate. Yep. Shoes, you know, and just, oh my God, it's just
first awesome. 2 weeks of every health kick is spent looking for the accessories before you actually step foot in the gym.
Well, yeah, you have to look
exactly.
Going in. Oh my goodness. But yes, hey everybody in the health junkie world, check out Jay Kim. You guys, you are gonna be in for a treat with this blog. I'm so excited. I can't even talk. Jay, thank you for meeting with me and chatting and taking the time out to chat with my audience, because I think they are going to love your stuff. And I am going to definitely keep promoting your book within my practice as well, because I think that your information is just laid out perfectly for folks to just get down to basics and do something about what they've been like complaining about for years, literally.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words, Janine. I had such a good time catching up with you today, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, anytime. I can't wait to have you back. Definitely, you're coming back. Everybody hear that? He's coming back. All right.
Definitely, anytime.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.